We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Prize Picks. $100 match on your first deposit when you use the promo code LIGHTYEARS. Andy Liu, the Warriors win 118-110 against the Utah Jazz, 43-35. In some ways, it feels like the dog days, like we're four games away from the postseason. 1 week, we will know at this time next Sunday,
oh, yes,
who the Warriors are playing in the play-in,
ooh,
all that sort of stuff.
Let's go.
It does feel like a little, nothing's decided, but at the same time, it feels like nothing can be really changed. So I feel like it's a little bit of a holding pattern, which is kind of how today's game felt too, right? Like no Steph Curry. Utah was playing a summer league lineup the whole game, you know? Shout out Johnny Juzang, though, the UCLA legend.
Didn't know he was on the Jazz till tonight. Love that.
I mean, I don't know if he's been on the Jazz until 2 weeks ago when they, went full summer league and just like emptied the G League roster.
There you go.
But,
okay.
But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is kind of like the calm before the storm right now. The Warriors are officially in the play-in, but they can't really control their own destiny. So we're just kind of wait to see where their matchup is next week.
Yeah, yeah. Whose fault is that? Their own fault. No, I actually really enjoyed this game. obviously they won by 20 points, but I know we're not going to spend, you know, an hour freaking talking about the ins and outs of Johnny Juzang versus Gui Santos tonight, but I enjoyed it, Sam. I mean, they're playing like a team that is back to their roots. I know Draymond looked like precautionary out for the second half, but that Draymond, Trayce Jackson-Davis lineup, I know they started with Pajemski and Chris Paul, which is a little funky, but it works, dude. It works defensively. Hell, it works offensively when TJD can just dunk the ball three times a game or four times a game easily, right? So I don't get annoyed watching this team. Even when they lose, right? Like, we watched them lose against Dallas. I wasn't annoyed, honestly. Like, I thought they were fine. They just ran out of gas because they're old. But, like, just this team plays like how I feel like we thought the Warriors' identity has been for the last decade. So,
you know, it's funny. I feel like the last, not quite a month, but like that 2 to 3 weeks, they look like the team I thought we'd see most of the year. And you know, things went in different ways. Draymond, whatever the fuck happened at the beginning of the season with his suspensions and everything, and Wiggins also with his sabbaticals, and there was rotation questions, and Chris Paul gets hurt, and Clay has no clues. Like, there's stuff all year, but they do.
You just named everything.
There's been like five different seasons this year. I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel like they're better than their record. And sure, I'm cautiously optimistic about them in the play-in right now. Like, I feel pretty good about this team. Like, they're going to, you know what's going to happen. Fitz is going to try to sell us on the Miami Heat went from the play-in to the finals. And on the one hand, I'm going to make fun of him for it. But on the other hand, I'm sitting here and I'm going, kinda, you know, like, I'm not like, like, Denver's terrifying. Denver looks every bit a legitimate, like, dynasty-esque contender. You know, like, it's Denver's title to lose, right? Yeah, I think you agree with me there.
Yeah, yeah.
Beyond that, I'm not super impressed with anyone else in the West. I think this Warrior team, I don't know how you frame expectations with them. I guess that's my question for you. How, like, because like, if you're looking at them through the lens of what we've seen the last decade, you're going to be disappointed. This is not 2016 or 17, you know? It's just not. But if you're looking at it through the lens of the entire West is a 47-win team, like they all are, right? Phoenix, the Lakers, the Thunder, they're all 47-win teams, like at their core. I don't care that the Thunder won 54 games. They're a 47-win team, you know? Like they're all like – they're all good but not great is the way I'm putting it, right? You know, like, do you disagree with me, though? Like, I think that they have a puncher's chance just as much as anyone, not named the Denver Nuggets in the West right now.
Denver Nuggets are in first place by half a game right now over the Timberwolves, who are currently playing the Lakers. We're on playback right now, live at what, Sunday night right now. Yeah. I'm with you. If the Warriors go and find a way, let's say Minnesota finds a way to get the one seed, I toss the scenario to you. And let's say the Warriors somehow get the eight seed, they beat the Lakers or they beat the Kings and the Pelicans, mm-hmm. whatever, they get in and they end up playing the Minnesota Timberwolves as the one seed. The majority of people, I bet you a lot of people are going to say, hey, the Warriors have a pretty good chance of beating the Wolves. I actually think people would pick the Warriors to beat the Wolves, right? It just regardless of whether Cat will be back. Cat coming back might help the Warriors. But like it's just like what would actually people pick? And realistically, have the Wolves ever won a playoff series? Have they won a playoff series? No.
No.
Right? Their best player doesn't have any playoff experience. We love him. I know. He's the next face of the NBA. Definitely from an American face of the NBA, but just not a real that guy type of player yet. So yeah, you're gonna give the Warriors more than a fighting chance. So when you but to your question, let's go back to that. You talk about framing expectations. I would say getting the playoffs. I saw a tweet today from the Warriors account, you know, celebrating the Warriors clinching a playoff spot in the 10th seed. I thought it was a little much. I think getting the playoffs should be the expectations, right? Wow, you had that up. Wow,
oh, you don't think I'm ready to clown these motherfuckers? Like, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. Actually, I'm for sure talking out of both sides of my mouth. But you know what? I don't care. So on the one hand, I'm cautiously optimistic about their potential to overperform their seeding in the playoffs. Well, first off, they have to get through the play-in. So like, I feel cautiously optimistic they can get in the playoffs. And if they get the right matchup, they might rip off a series, you know? But on the other hand, this is some, who do I want to climb? This is some Sacramento Kings bullshit. I'm sorry. Just celebrating being in the play-in, like, come on, man. 12 rings are in that photo right there. Don't disrespect them. Put Podziemski, Kuminga, and Trace on this graphic. That's it. Like, don't put top 10 seed clinched with a picture of Steph, Clay, and Draymond. Those dudes are first ballot Hall of Famers. Those dudes, like, you think these guys are thrilled that they made the play in? Like, they're just like, you know what? We're gonna have to do it the hard way, right? It's kind of lame.
It's embarrassing. It is weird. And I know.
Yeah, it's like hang the banner. It's like,
exactly. Come on, man. Yeah. Like, are you the Houston Rockets? Actually, not even. At least the Houston Rockets made it to the Western Conference Finals. It feels a little. You know, I went to Giants opening day. By the way, my team, 2 wins in a row. We got a big one on opening day. But it feels like they're playing
lost on Saturday.
Yeah, so. two out of three.
There you go.
Honestly,
there you go. You could have lost. That's accurate. So
could have lost all three. but 4-6, first 10, not bad. Tough schedule. But you know, when I was there, they played the nostalgia piece pretty hard, right? To start the game, they had that Pat Burrell, who's obviously a hitting coach. They had Jake Peavy, by the way, who was a great San Diego Padre, but won a World Series with the Giants. He was there. They had some of the Niners guys come out. Mitch Wisnowski was punting the ball. They had a lot of old Giants. Barry Bonds was there. Will Clark was there. This right here, you just put up a pic of Steph, Draymond, and Clay within a poster with the top 10 seed clinched. Kind of plays to that a little bit. It's like It's like, man, I know. Look, man, Barry was amazing. I know they won a World Series in 2014. Jake Peavy's awesome. But guys, come on. Like, we got to be realistic, man. Like, Giants haven't been in the playoffs one time in the last decade. Warriors, like, you're in the play-in. Let's be real. At least wait until they make the postseason as an 8 seed, which is why when you say expectations, I'm like, that's my expectation. At least make the fucking playoffs. But like, one game and you're out. Like, they make top 10. By the way, 10 seed, how many teams are in the Western Conference? How many teams total in the Western Conference? 15. 10 out of 15.
Making the play-in does not deserve an infographic. It deserves a one-line tweet. The Warriors have clinched the play-in spot. You know, like, you don't need to get your Photoshop out. It's not the moment, you know? It's save the Photoshop for if they beat the Pelicans or the Lakers or the Kings and make the playoffs, you know?
Yeah.
Even that's like, yeah. Anyway.
I agree.
Anyway, so we're kind of talking on both sides of our mouth, cautiously optimistic about this team, but also like, come on, guys, let's not act like this is We Believe, you know? It's like they're trying to channel the energy of We Believe, but it's hard to buy that because they're the Dynasty Warriors. It's not Baron Davis on a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 13 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Honestly, they're probably going to be the 10 seed. That's the other part of this. There's a chance they can move up, but it's out of their control at this point. Like, I'll pull up standings real quick for you.
Yep.
But they are 1 to 2 games back of all realistic chances to get into it. You know, the Sacramento Kings are probably the most vulnerable team in the play-in scenario, given the injuries to Monk and Herter. But they own the tiebreaker and they're up 2 on the Warriors. Like, they're probably not going to fall that 3. Far.
And they won tonight. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, the Lakers, we'll see. We'll see where they go. The Pelicans won a huge one against the Phoenix Suns tonight. So they got a 3-game lead on the Warriors. I know the Warriors play them once before the end of the season, but they can only make up one game in the one game. So that's kind of how it plays out. And honestly, that's probably why Steph didn't play tonight. Actually, it's exactly what I said. Like, Steve Kerr's not going to say it, but let me play his audio for you real quick.
I know it's hard to know what's going to happen in the next few weeks, but given the age of your guys, given what could be ahead of them, if they're assuming you're in a play-in, play on a Tuesday, play on a Thursday, maybe get on a plane, have to play on a Sunday, how cognizant of that are you? Can you be with minutes, with maybe even giving guys days off over the last 5?
Well, I think we'll know more every single day. You know, we want to go out and win. You know, let's take care of business today and see where everything shakes out. We may get to a point here in the next week where it's kind of, decided where we are. And at that point, we've got to think about all of our options. That's what made the Dallas game so big. Had we won that one, then we're right in the thick of everything with the Lakers, with Sacramento, with New Orleans. But now we're a couple games back. No tiebreaker against Sacramento. The Lakers, obviously, 2 games ahead of us now. If it had only been 1, you go to L.A. and you that's for the tiebreaker. And so that Dallas game, in my mind, shifted things a lot and put us in a much tougher spot in terms of trying to climb the ladder.
Yeah, and that's kind of where they are, right? Like, that's kind of where I'm like, this next week, it's fun. It's cool to see Pajemski play well. We'll talk about Kuminga on the other side of the ads real quick. But, like, all that stuff's good. I think we can also say they've been playing much better ball the last month. Like, they're going into the playoffs with a very – I don't want to say momentum, but, like, it's better than the situation Sacramento's in.
I think momentum is right. I think this is a team that I want to do Kuminga, but we'll do it after the break. We'll do it after the break. But I think this is a team that if they incorporate the way that, like, my narrative these last 2 weeks is that they've gone back to 2022. They've gone back to 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19. And if you're telling me that you can get a bought-in point guard off the bench to give you 25 really good, you're winning bench minutes every time. If you can get like a real center next to Draymond, shore up your defense. Klay's, I mean, dude, Klay's completely on fire right now. Steph gets it. Like, that's a team I take over the Kings, a team I take over the Suns. Sam, that's a team I take over the Pelicans. Ingram's not playing, especially in a one and done. So I'm bullish on this team. I'm not bullish on the consolation trophy stuff that they're giving out, but I'm bullish on the team, I think, as a whole. The Light Years podcast, we, sir, are brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100x your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your latest hoops knowledge into serious cash. Want to play alongside some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill and Sugar Sean O'Malley? You can find community plays under the promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community. Each week, Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits in the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back, not count that as a loss. So download the app today. Use code LIGHTYEARS for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the app today. Use code LIGHTYEARS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. And we are brought to you by Factor. Factor's back. My guys, eat stress-free.
Oh, I love Factor.
I do love Factor. I do love healthy, fast. I don't even need to do the read right now. I could just tell.
It's nice how many sponsors I use. I'm parlaying Caitlin Clark and Steph Curry, and I'm eating Factor. That's literally that's my life. That and chasing a toddler around. So
all those three. Actually, that's actually a good use case right there. Is that hey, look, if you're gonna have a kid running around sick all day, you can make fast food. Like real fast
yes.
food.
Yes.
Not fast food, but like get chef prepared meals on the table. 2 minutes with Factor's ready to eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring, which is watching our Warriors. So eat stress free with this spring with Factor's delicious ready to eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, that's me, Vegan and Veggie, that's you. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week. You got breakfast. You got on-the-go lunch. You got snacks. You got Bev. Help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today. So, hey, head to factormeals.com/lightyears50. Use code lightyears50 to get 50% off your first box. Plus, not done, plus 20% off your next box. That's code lightyears50. At factormeals.com/lightyears50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. By the way, Sam, before we get to Kuminga, John Calipari is going to be the coach at Arkansas.
I forgot that Musselman accepted the USC job last week. He took the USC job and Bronny's like, I'm out. I'm done. You go make me play. I don't want to do that. No.
Crazy. I thought, yeah. Blows my mind. I know I'm not a college guy, but it feels like my whole life Calipari's been a...
It's weird to think that, like, it got to a point where he has to leave, right? But, like, they haven't done anything.
They haven't won, yeah, right. When was the last time they won?
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis, yeah.
Right. Yeah, but it's not even just winning. They've been, like, a first-round exit for, yeah. Like...
Man.
I think you have to go back to Cat for the last time they were, like, Elite Eight. Right,
but he can recruit, so he can't coach.
He's not even recruiting that well anymore.
No, okay.
Oh. I mean, it's not like you remember when we were younger, and it was just like every top five pick went to Kentucky: John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, right. Anthony Davis, Karl-Anthony Towns, like that. Now he's like, I guess Reed Shepard's good and Rob Dillingham, but like, it's not like they got the. It's just not the same.
Isn't Rob Dillingham the top three pick?
We'll see. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not convinced.
Oof. crazy. It's always, you know, we felt like we were in high school when Calipari was like the, you know, biggest name in hoops.
Yeah.
Like,
these things, it's weird, right? Because it's crazy. Just like, you just assume he's going to stay there until he feels like retiring, right?
And Coach K, you know, now he's gone. I mean, he's not gone, but you know what I'm saying? So anyway, wow.
It is kind of weird because like you expect like part of the college charm is like, all right, the players change, but it's always, you know, Coach K. It's always Jim Boeheim or what, you know,
Roy Williams, right? So
sure.
College isn't about coaching anymore, it feels like. So
No. All right, so Kuminga, real quick. I want to talk, first game back, and they brought him off the bench, which I thought they were going to do because the Trace thing's working. And you know what? I loved his game tonight. You know, he could have been a brat about it, but he looked – he's just like, all right, we're going to go dominate. 21, 10, 4 assists. Utah, obviously, not a great team right now, but, like, he did exactly what you'd want him to do, which is, like, I'm better than all of you. I'm going to own you the whole way through. And I think they're going to ride this starting line. I think Kuminga's coming off the bench the rest of the year.
Yeah,
that's my – I agree. In the playoffs, too, because he's a clunky fit with Draymond and Trace. And Trace – it's not that he's better than Kuminga. It's that his fit with Draymond and the starters is so good. They have to ride it a little bit. And you know what? I like it. I like the way this is shaping out. It could be potentially dangerous.
I 1000% agree. I don't like it. I fucking love it. I really do. And look, like it's nights like this, it's going to help when Clay's going for 32 in like less than 30 minutes. Pods, I thought, was really good tonight. Looks like his offense is gotten under control again. Like maybe he got through the rookie wall. But, you know, with Kuminga, like the thing with him is you said clunky fit. I think just the style he plays is a clunky fit for the Warriors. And that's a good and bad thing. It's good because the Warriors need more of what Kuminga does. Nobody on this freaking team can go to the rim. But it's bad because nobody knows how to play that style because everybody's used to kick in the corner, kick it back out, drive, fake shoot, kick it back out, set a back screen, set another back screen, run around in circles, kick it back out. Like, that's kind of the Warriors' way. And Kuminga's like, that's just not how he plays basketball. And again, like, that's good. But it's always weird when he tries to do that with, to what you're saying, it's just going to be even weirder if you try to do that with Draymond and Chase Jackson Davis, right? So, Paul and Kuminga off the bench, I'm kind of like, I hope everyone's healthy. I know Wiggins didn't play tonight. I'm juiced up.
That feels like one of those.
Woo!
Yeah, you'd play if it was a playoff game, but we're going to let your ankle have a couple.
I hope so.
I mean, that's kind of how I felt about Kuminga's knee. A little scary with the tendonitis thing at his age. But I will say, you know, what do you think is the bigger issue for Kuminga, the defense or the shooting?
Ooh.
Because I think it's the shooting. Wow. I think if he could shoot the ball, you could play him at the three. Easy. But because he's not a – and it's not that he's got better shooting the ball. I think he's over 70% from the free throw line this year. He can hit the occasional corner three, but like no one guards him to shoot. And you know it because he hesitates every time he gets the ball. Like he wants to drive. He doesn't want to shoot, right? I feel like if he could shoot it like Wiggins, which isn't even a great shooter, but like, you know, Wiggins will take the open shot and he's been hitting it recently. I feel like if he could do that, then he could fit with Draymond.
But Wiggins is more of a shooter though. Like that's the thing. Like you can just tell when you watch Wiggins throughout his career. Like he's kind of a shooter.
Yeah,
it's hard though. It's hard to develop that to what you're saying. Like it's hard to all of a sudden Kuminga's like Wiggins was shooting that pull up midi. Now I know that that's not a super efficient shot, but like Wiggins has been shooting that and making that for his whole life. Like, I don't think that's Kuminga's thing. That's just not how he operates, which is fine.
Which is why it's a 4-5, right?
Right.
Like it's like, all right, you're like rim all the time. So yeah.
I think so. So I actually disagree. I think the defense is the bigger, I don't know if it's issue because I think he ends up being a good defensive player, but he certainly isn't that today. And I think that's the issue. It's just he's not a good defensive player right now. Because I think he realized that what he brings to this team that's so invaluable is on offense. And he kind of got to the point where it's like, I'm gonna play 30 minutes a game. I'm gonna need to score 20 points a game. And I just when you do that, you're just not gonna be. You're not gonna go both ways. That like I don't know what it is, but he's just not that good defensively. Actually, I do know what it is. like he's just not his. I think patience and lack and focus on defense just hasn't been there. But the offense has gotten so much better that I think people don't think about it because it's just like, oh, he's getting to the hole at will and one here and one there. Great pass here, right? Like he's just taking that leap. And I think people just don't really care about the defense. And I've kind of been
People don't really watch defense.
Yeah, I'm a weirdo. People say I'm a hater because of that. And it's just like, look, I get it. Like the offense is awesome. He's become an offensive monster. Look at the rest of this team, right? It's like, well, Pod's struggles in a lot of things. It's just the microscope's under him.
That microscope is necessary because right. If you want to win games, you need player. Like, you can't just be like, oh, just look at him. He doesn't suck. Like, they need to be better than that, you know? Sure. Like, that's kind of the point. Like, I think it's true. Like, if they want to play the small ball lineup where it's Draymond at the five, Kuminga at the four, Wiggins at the three, he needs to be a lot better defensively. Maybe it's fair, maybe it's not, but like he needs to be a way more impactful off ball defender, needs to crash the glass, needs to do a lot more little things to make that work, right? And if it's the other way, if they want to play Trace at the five and Draymond at the four and Kuminga at the three, he has to learn to shoot the ball. So it's like one of those two has to come.
I'm fascinated. I think that's the fascinating part is what comes next season.
Right, yeah.
Because you talk about being excited for this season, for this postseason, if they can make it. To me, it's like, all right, you're probably not winning the championship. Maybe you win one round, maybe not. But next season, it's kind of, isn't that it? Right? Like next season, there's no more questions. There shouldn't be any more questions about Kuminga's place on this team.
Sure.
I think Podziemski, I tweeted this out, like for him, it's like, how good is he going to be offensively next season? I'm so excited to find out. Cause like that's the big question I think for him. Because I think everything else is like, it's NBA ready. Like it's just, he's not going to become longer. Yeah. Like it's a scoring. Can he score consistently? Because like he's not going to get longer on defense. So like that defense is going to be what it is. So it's like, you know, that's the question mark. So offseason questions, but actually that excites me because tonight like Pods played really well, Kuminga played really well, and those are the two guys. Like,
and to your Pods point, it's like, is he going to be able to like really shoot the ball, or is it only going to be these little like weird step backs? Because I promise you, they're not going to change the offense to where they run the James Harden offense for Podziemski. So he's got to be able to like come off of a curl and make a play and like some of that stuff. It is really weird how good he is at a step back and how bad he is at all of the shooting. But whatever. In general, net positive as a rookie. I want to talk on let's do like a couple minutes on the women's NCAA finals. South Carolina won. They were the better team. It's okay. This is going to happen.
They were a lot better.
Bigger than ever.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Every position.
I watched one quarter and I was like, what is this? Like, this isn't going to be close as long as Keegan Lookout doesn't score 60 points. It's going
to
be.
Yeah. She needed to go full nuclear and it didn't happen, right?
Yeah.
I did think, you know, what was the funniest thing? Like, the last week, you've seen all these like older players like Diana Taurasi talk about like reality's coming. You look superhuman playing against some 18-year-olds, but you're going to come play with some grown women that have been playing professional ball a long time. Like a lot of like, and it just, I feel like I was put in a time machine to 10 years ago when Steph got good. That's how I feel. That's exactly like, remember Oscar Robertson being like, I had shooters on my team who are just as good as Steph. It's like, shut the fuck off, dude. Russell Westbrook's the best point guard in the NBA. He's a better all-around player than Steph. Like, and it wasn't just Oscar Robertson. It's just like all of them were so bothered by him. And it's like watching it's like bar for bar the same.
Yeah. Yeah, play exactly the same. And, you know, somebody actually threw out this quote that Kobe said, it's, you know, the good ones get loved and the great ones get hated. And I've never heard that.
That's good.
I've actually never heard that till a couple days ago when all this stuff about Caitlin Clark came out, and it makes a lot of sense because let me give you this comp, right, Sam? It's Steph hated, Damian Lillard loved. It's good versus great, right? Good.
Yeah. Right? I like that.
Good. You're never going to be good enough to win anything, but it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to hate you because you're not threatening anyone, right? Caitlin Clark to me feels like she's threatening people. Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, all these people that are coming out. I can act like I can name 10 WNBA players off the bat. Like all these women that are coming out and saying like, no, I mean that like just me personally, like not as a slander. It's just like coming out and saying like, hey, like all this and all that, how about her in WNBA? It's like, all right. I think I kind of get it because it feels like they're like, hey, we played in this league. Like we crushed this league. Like this girl isn't just going to come in and you can't just automatically assume she's going to kill everyone. And it's like, I kind of get where they're going for because they feel threatened by this person.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, is this just a basketball thing? Because we see this in the NBA a lot with stuff. Like, is this just do older players just hate younger players? Because I feel like we don't see that in football. Does Tom Brady ever hate on Mahomes? Is that a thing?
But that's the only one. Tom Brady hates on every quarterback not named Mahomes.
Well, I think they don't go out and say stuff. I think, you know, Peyton Manning gets frustrated when you watch those Monday Night Football things. Mm-hmm. But he's not coming out here. And I don't know, this feels a little jealousy.
It does. And it was the same way with Steph to a degree too. And I also think, like Steph, she's changing the way the women's game is played. It's the same thing as Steph. A bunch of dudes who pretty much felt their whole life that like, all right, but like if we get more physical, we can beat you up. You know, like that's the whole mentality. Like Oscar Robertson can be summed up as saying, okay, you're a good shooter, but what happens if we, you know, like D you up harder, right? You're not going to be shooting it that well. And like history shows like, no, he's just that good, guys. He's just that special, right? So I think the women's game is dealing with that a little bit where they're just like, oh, this is cute, but what happens when Asia Wilson decides to guard her and like all that sort of stuff? And I feel pretty confident it'll be the exact same thing because, look, man, if you could shoot it that well and you're that smart a player, like a passer, like you can utilize you can use the defense against them, you'll be fine.
The chat brings up, and I love being on playback for these because the chat brings up things that I think leads the conversation or guides us in a way that makes a lot of sense. So somebody brings up, is it more skill not being as respected as other attributes? So I saw this debate last week with someone saying, and again, I don't have an opinion on it. I haven't seen them long enough to have an opinion, but people saying like, hey, I'd rather have Paige Bueckers than Caitlin Clark because Paige Bueckers, she's longer, she's better defensively.
More all around.
Exactly. There you go. More all around. And I think that's so akin to what we heard about Steph is that, well, Russell Westbrook's a better defender. He jumps higher. He dunks harder. He screams louder. He gets to the hole better. He's more athletic. So he's a better player because he's better all around. And it's like, is he though? Because Steph is uniquely the best 10 rungs above everyone else at shooting, scoring. Also, he's actually a better defender. Just because Russ has bigger biceps and screams a lot doesn't mean he's better defensively. And so that always felt like a classic argument where it's, well, I think you're just underrating the amount of skill that it takes to be Steph. And at the end of the day, the point of the game is to put the ball in the hole and nobody helps on that side of the ball more than Steph, right? And I think that's kind of the same with again, I'm not saying Paige Bueckers is Russ, but it's just understanding that it's like, man, just because you're good at five things, you know?
You never see it in other sports. Like, you don't see dudes, like in baseball, oh, but like, he's a better all-around hitter than Otani. It's like, no. Otani terrifies pitchers. They don't want to throw it anywhere near him because any mistakes going 500 yards the other way, right? Like, that sort of thing, right? It's like, oh, but, you know, it's to me, it's kind of the same thing where it's like, I get what you're saying. By like this person checks more boxes, but the box that that first guy checks scares you more.
Yep.
And that matters more. That matters more. Like, which guy has your attention when they hit half court? That's the answer right there, you know? So you're going to be like, okay, but he can't, like, do as many things. Okay, but the things he can do, you can't stop. Yep. You just don't have an answer for it. So it's that simple.
Oh, I agree.
So, yeah. It's anyway, I don't know if you feel the same way as me, but it's just like, I'm like reading all this stuff and watching it. I'm like, bro, I feel like I was put in a time machine back to 10 years ago. So,
and the NBA got really toxic, right? With the way I think Steph was discussed. And I think the same thing for LeBron when the decision happened, and, you know, with Kobe way while back. So this is not just a Steph thing with the conversation being toxic, but specifically to hating on a player that I think Caitlin Clark's going to bring so many eyeballs to the NBA. Can we just admit that? Can we just maybe, like, that's the conversation ender, is that, hey man, like, you guys can talk all you want about Caitlin Clark, but WNBA doesn't get viewership. It's going to get a ton of viewership soon because I will be watching because of Caitlin Clark, and stuff matters. I mean, I watched every Elite Eight game on, maybe like Sweet 16 game on. I watch more women's hoops than college men's hoops, because college men's hoops is unwatchable. I just couldn't
watch it. Do not disrespect our guy, Zach Edey.
He's unwatchable. We were texting about this, dude. I cannot stand it.
I'm about to text Kirk and be like, everyone but Steph's on the table. Get him.
Get him. Is he a first round pick, by the way?
I don't think so.
So anyway, WNBA, I will be watching. I heard the Bay Area, we're going to get a team soon. Hopefully
we are.
Get some players that will be watching.
Not this draft though.
Not this.
That's one. One, Joe Lacob has to be like going, come on.
Losing it.
One draft too late, you know, that type
of thing. Paige is coming out then next year. The girl from USC, Juju, will be coming. Well, maybe that's 4 years. Well, anyway, I will be watching. We are Light Years Podcast, brought to you by Unified. Whether you're a world-class athlete or podcaster like us, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by an energy enhancement system, or EE system. If you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the Bay or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/lightyears to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/lightyears. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system.
There we go. Scott, I got to touch down up here real quick. We're going to power through these. We appreciate everyone. We got a few people on the line. I'm going to get to everyone, but
much love.
This will not be a 5 minutes per call segment, which is my way of saying I'm very tired.
Apparently I'm shocked that I'm being brought up here, but okay. So the real question that I guess one question that I do have is, I would say, who is a little bit more worried about getting the second seed, OKC or Minnesota? Because I think it's probably OKC, mainly because it's a more so a physicality issue when if they get the Lakers draw compared to like some of the other teams, compared to like, well, I know that Minnesota is like
You mean from their perspective, like which?
Yeah, like, okay. Because I think it's a worse match. I think OKC will be fine against most play-in teams, except for the Lakers, uniquely because of a physicality issue. And yes, Chet is a great shot blocker and everything, but what do they have other than Chet? on the back end. And keep in mind, I've been kind of impressed about OKC's defense for most of the year, considering that Chet is their only backline defender for the most of the year. But it's like Anthony Davis and LeBron, and then there's also Rui when he's actually going, will give OKC unique problems. So if OKC just decides to fuck around and just get the second seed, they're going to get bounced out by either the Lakers or the Warriors. Steph gets a heater, so we'll see.
I think you're correct. I think OKC is kind of scared of all the matchups, if I'm being honest with you. I don't think they want to play the Lakers.
Jeez.
Am I wrong?
Wow. I got to think about it more.
It does feel okay. So I'm pulling up the standings right now. Currently, they're the 3 seed, and they're looking at the Phoenix Suns. Who do you think they want to play more, the Lakers or the Suns?
Suns.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that, and they've been, you know, Shea, Chet, those guys have been sitting a lot of games recently. It does feel like they're like trying to position themselves to comfortably be the 3 seed.
It's a learning season for them, feels like, sure. Right? But it is a little disappointing if they can't win a playoff round as a top seed. I mean, they're pretty much the 1 seed. Little disappointing, I think.
Sure.
Is this the best you're ever going to get from SGA? Maybe. How much better can he get? Jay Williams probably has a couple steps left in him. So
I mean, Chet's got a lot of steps in him.
A lot of steps.
And then they got, in theory, they got a lot of room where they could add just like, because right. In my opinion, they just, they need to invest in like the right role players.
Yeah. NBA sports changes fast. NBA changes fast. So you know, you think you got 5 years, but it'd be 2.
That's fair.
Abdullah,
what's up, man?
Hey guys. So Dallas game, that was rough losing that game, but I'm looking at the schedule and I'm actually kind of feeling like things are setting up well in terms of them being able to make a decision soon, because I checked, and the OKC Sacramento game is starting 2 hours before the Lakers Warriors game. And I feel like if Sacramento loses that game, like you can go for it. Like, but if somehow, like you were saying, like they rest guys on OKC side, I mean, I'm all for like throwing that game against the Lakers. And because I'm with you, I want to play Sacramento. And I think that that's a possibility in terms of how things are shaking out. So my question to you guys is, let's say we get Sacramento. Like, let's say it ends up working out. I don't know where we're at, but let's just say Sacramento's the matchup. I think we're all, like, loving this TJD lineup. My question is, do you feel like that lineup works against Sacramento? And the reason why I ask this is because in that lineup, who does TJD guard? Because I feel like Draymond owns Sabonis. Do you park TJD on like a Keegan Murray or a Harrison Barnes? Do you have TJD guard Sabonis and then have Draymond play free safety and try to be helping? Because when I think of that, I have like images of like him helping too much and Keegan Murray going like 7 for 10 or Harrison Barnes somehow having like a hot shooting night with all the open threes because he's being helped off of. So what do you guys think in terms of like the optimal lineup, how much you can play TJD and Draymond next to each other if we catch the Kings, and who you have guarding?
Yeah. You know, the irony is, as you're talking through it, I feel incredibly comfortable at the Kings matchup. And I'm also, it's individual game, where Trace maybe only plays 10 minutes or 15 minutes because that's a small ball lineup game, right? Like, that's a game where I would not be surprised if they went immediately to Draymond at the 5 and you take advantage of playing kind of spacing around him and take advantage of Sabonis not really being able to guard it. I don't know. I haven't really thought about too much harder than that. But yeah, that might not be Trace's best matchup, but I feel like the Warriors have so many options to attack the Kings that, you know what, if Trace doesn't play him a lot that night, it's fine.
One name I'd look out for, you mentioned Draymond owning Sabonis, but Looney, I bet, gets dusted off for a solid 10 to 15. I would not be surprised. I just wouldn't be, especially if it's
double that, 30. Yeah. About to give Sabonis another 23 rebound game, really, and then not be touched the rest of the playoffs again.
Can't play him in an LA series, but golly, he would be. How, as always,
Abdul, appreciate you calling. Yeah. Can we just talk about that real quick? How happy does it make you when Looney owns matchups?
Well, nothing makes me happier because that's my type of guy. And actually, you know, Looney's actually been playing better. I know he like doesn't get to play anymore at all, but the minutes he's had lately, he has been a lot better. He really, really was struggling before he got benched. So I'm happy. I'm happy. I know we probably won't see Sarge ever play again, nor his uniform, but like I think it's that type of stuff where, you know, guys struggle, they get benched, and you know, second chance they play better. So I did see Sarge, and looks like he's not even suiting up. So I guess he's just, you know, whatever, maybe an injury, whatever. He's just done. So shout out to Sarge. He's had a good Warriors career.
DNP back to Croatia.
How do we get here? Bielica, TK tweeted, was at the game tonight. Shout out to Bielica. Forever Warrior.
Forever Warrior. That's true. So he is.
All right.
All right, Ebony, what's up?
Hello. All right, I'll make it quick. So it was a fun win. I enjoyed watching the kids play with Chris Paul and just kind of, you know, doing what we thought they would do at the beginning of the season. So that was cool. I guess my only question, who is worse, Jerome Robinson or Chris Chorizo or whatever the fuck his last name was?
Chorizo, nice.
That's my only question.
Appreciate you.
Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate you.
I don't really care to get too deep into it, but I'm confused by the Jerome Robinson. I got Chioza. Chioza's quintessential.
He's a better player.
Deep point guard.
Yeah.
Not going to turn the ball over, can run the offense, and you just pray he hits shots that day, right? Like that's, but it's like, you know what you're getting with him. I don't know what Jerome Robinson's deal is.
Like Jerome Robinson, by the way, Jerome Robinson was actually like picked high. He was not a
right. Yeah, they took him. They took him. The Clippers, by the way, all time fumble. They took Shea and Jerome Robinson and passed on Michael Porter. They could have had Shea and Michael Porter.
Yeah, well, they would have traded MPJ, sure, for sure too. Yeah, probably just like Shea, but. So he was highly touted coming in the league, and
best,
he is
best owner in the league, by the way. But
wonderful. I don't understand it either. To you, like Chris Chioza,
I got it.
Kenny Atkinson like, special. Yeah, it really. You understood Chioza. Like good, he can handle the ball. He tries really hard. He could push it. Doesn't really turn the ball over.
Classic deep bench.
Yeah, just like it. Kojo makes sense, but Jerome Robinson looks like he like should be playing in Germany. Like I don't.
Go light it up in the EuroLeague, my man.
Let's move it. Let's keep moving. I don't even know why I said that. Sometimes people lose. Yeah, that's good. Let's go. Kojo.
It's okay.
Forgot Corey Joseph was on the team this season again. By the way, another forever Warrior.
I thought I'd be, yeah. I'm a Kojo guy.
I was too in 2015.
I'm just an ironic hipster. That's who I am.
I'm always been a Chioza guy. Mainly because that was the one time our backup point guard won us a championship, but like a random ass backup point guard was on the team when we won the championship. So it's always going to be Chioza for me. But speaking of backup point guard, I wanted to mention about the graphic that we saw from the Warriors. I'm blaming that on Chris Paul. It's like we bought in a perennial loser and we ended up becoming a perennial losers team that celebrates getting into the play-ins. It's like
nice.
So we finally at least got one thing to blame Chris Paul for. But anyway, more importantly, I want to talk a little bit about Kuminga. I wanted to mention this last time around as well. I think, so Sam, since you mentioned about the fit, I think it's mainly the POA defense. I think Wiggins obviously is a much better POA defender when he wants to be. And that just like, correct. It just like on the defensive side, it just makes sense to have Wiggins instead of Kuminga. And on that subject, I think next season, Kuminga will be our biggest trade chip. I hate to say it. And I love how he's developed. But if you want to get like a Cat or like you mentioned Cat or some, maybe, I don't know, Giannis. if like he's fed up of Milwaukee. But anyway, if we want to get someone like that, Kuminga has to be the one in the trade, because like I don't think Wiggins' value outside is as much as his value is to the Warriors, assuming he plays well, or Chris Paul. So yeah, that's about it. But looking forward to the play-in tournament, finally clinching the 10th seed. Go Warriors.
We are back. We are so back in the 10th seed. Paritosh, I don't know. I kind of agree with you. Like, it does. I mean, I assume the last 2 years, all trades of value, like ones that would actually move the team forward, would involve him. But I don't know. And my only thought is I'm doing no speculation stuff until the offseason.
I agree with Paritosh. I agree. That's all I got, because I feel like it's a good night. The Warriors look good. They're in good position. Can they get the 9 seed? Can they play the Kings? But yeah, man, I agree.
We'll talk about it. I wanted to get into it tonight, but it feels like let's just wait until the back half of this week to talk about like what is the favorable matchup route. But let's get to it. Last caller. Roddy, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Let's go. Good. What's up, man?
Hey, so I guess I was kind of going to ask about a little bit more of a difficult topic, but next year, do you think overall we are going to stay the same skill level, or do you think we're going to drop because Draymond getting older, Clay getting older, Steph getting older, or do you think the step-ups from Pods, TJD, and Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga will kind of subset that and, you know, I don't know.
That's a great question. I appreciate the call. Here's my cop-out answer on it. I think it's going to require an external move to actually improve that, because I think guys like Clay and Steph getting older is a bigger fall than guys like Pods and Moody getting better. So
yeah.
That's my two cents on it. Appreciate you, man.
Not one more question.
No,
Rob, yeah,
no,
go
no,
for it. No. Go for it. Sorry, go no, for it.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess the only issues that I have is I think the Grizzlies are coming back, and they're coming back hard.
Ooh.
And which is unfortunate because we're in the 10th seed, which means that would be an our demise. So do you think the Clippers or the Suns are gonna blow up before that? Or are we thinking that we're just kind of screwed and we should just
no
trade for the biggest piece?
Well, yes, they should play trade for the biggest piece, absolutely. Sam thinks the Clippers have blown up. I know
it. You're correct. I'm honestly, to his question, I think both have potential blow up possibilities. So
let's look down the list. Actually, I love that second question. So Denver is staying. Minnesota, yeah,
I feel pretty confident about that.
Minnesota,
here's a list.
Yeah, thank you. Perfect. So Denver's a staying force. Minnesota is a staying force, I think, right? Anthony Edwards and Gobert, you're going to be fine. OKC is a staying force. That's three. Clippers are not a staying force, so you can take that one out. The Mavericks, Sam, are they a staying force? Are they consistent enough for you? Yeah, probably.
I mean, Luka's
probably.
Yeah, Luka's just so young and he's just so durable. So
yeah. I agree. So that's four. The Phoenix Suns.
No. Select the Clippers.
Yeah. Nope. Not a consistent force. That's four. New Orleans Pelicans. Are they? Not really.
They should be, but their main two guys are inconsistent health wise.
Not to me. Sacramento Kings. Are they?
Oh, I think they're a massive blow up risk.
Yep. Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, the definition of a blow up risk is any LeBron team, right?
Sure.
Houston, you know, struggled. They didn't struggle this, but you know. Memphis, so to Memphis. Okay, and then you got San Antonio, who maybe if they sign some guys. So you've really got four teams next season. You've got the Nuggets, the Wolves, the Thunder, the Mavericks. Everyone else, no idea.
That's true. Everyone else could be the 4 seed or could be the 12 seed, right? So, yeah.
So I don't think it's dire at all.
No.
The Warriors could stand to, like I think like you said, trade for a guy that's in his prime or 30 maybe. Trade for a guy that's 30.
Can they do that?
Yeah. Can they do that for a guy that's 30 that's not 6 feet? Can they do that? We'll see.
History says no, but we'll see. All right. Appreciate everyone.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.